They say childbirth, house moving, and bereavement are life's traumatic trinity. And that Saturday, I had 2 out of 3. In the afternoon, there was Elliot Roth's funeral, but first, I'd promised to help Juliet clear her stuff out of the family house.
Could you take this trunk next, Dad?
Sure. Oh, what's in it? Gold ingots.
Just Angela's toys.
What are they made of? Lead. Nothing to worry about, Francis. Just a little internal hemorrhaging.
I'm sure you had a couple of biceps when I first knew you.
You're the gym bunny. You could be doing this and I could slump in front of CBeebies with Angela.
Apart from looking after our granddaughter, I've also been offering tea and sympathy to your houseguest.
My houseguest was actress and one-time model Jodie Ricks, who temporarily moved in with us after someone stretched a tripwire across her stairs.
How long is she staying, Charles?
Oh, give the kid a break. It's Elliot's funeral today.
Jodie and I were filming The Wreathing, a low-budget vampire flick produced by her lover, the late Elliot Roth, and she was now carrying his child.
Careful with that, Charles.
Don't tell me someone's actually worried about me.
I'm actually worried about my... Nepalese death gong.
What's it actually for?
It's an ethnic cultural artefact.
What do the Nepalese hang on their walls? National Trust lavender bags? I don't know why Juliet and Miles couldn't book professionals to do this.
There's a recession on and do stop whining.
I bet Rickman doesn't spend his downtime doing house clearances.
Moon.
That's all right for you to say, but since we started filming, I've had broken glass in my backside, fallen down Jodie's stairs, and nearly had my arm severed by her vampire slayer's blade.
You should try having a baby.
Oh, yeah, here we go. A man can't be in pain without a woman playing the childbirth card.
It's true.
It's also physiologically impossible and therefore a logically redundant argument.
Okay, will you two please stop bickering?
Well, bickering's what we do. It's our defining characteristic.
My defining characteristic's restraining myself from gouging your eyes out with a grapefruit spoon.
Since when did you own a grapefruit spoon?
You're doing it again!
He's doing it again. I'm an innocent bystander.
Please, enough. You're creating a very child-hostile environment.
Angela's perfectly happy watching in the night garden.
Which she's been watching all morning. I went in there just now and she stared at me like a zombie.
She could be an extra on The Wreathing.
Shut up, Josh. She's fine, darling.
Well, I'm not fine. And right now, I can't handle you two sniping at each other. I've only just come out of a very dark place.
You should put a light in that closet, Francis.
Are you making jokes? Is he making jokes?
No, he really is this stupid.
I'm dealing with a major life change, and I need to be karmically centred to focus on the job in hand, so I'd appreciate it if the two of you could please stop shouting!
Karmically centred?
I blame the mother and a Nepalese death gong. Mm.
Anyway, where the hell is Miles? He should be here.
He's getting things ready at the other end.
Yeah, I suppose someone has to light the scented candles and hang the wind chimes.
It's yours.
Yeah, I know it's mine. Any chance you could answer it, only I'm in the middle of a very important hernia.
Mummy's not at home to Mr. Snappy.
Oh, God.
Charles Paris's answering service.
Oh, you should be on my books with those dulcet tones. I'd make you queen of the Soho Voice Studios.
I'll be in touch when I retire from teaching. Do you want Charles?
Not want, more stuck with.
It's Morris.
Did he find out about Elliot's death certificate?
Fatal stroke, all signed off by Dr. Mayhew. Ask him if he's got a yarmulke.
All above board, Charles, and Morris wants to know if you've got a yarmulke.
A what?
A what?
A Jewish skullcap.
A Jewish skullcap?
Well, why would I have a... Tell him I'll call him back.
He'll call you back when he stopped crying.
I never knew he and Elliot were so close.
Jodie insisted on driving to the funeral, and between sobs, she broke every rule in the highway code while I prayed and clung on to what was left of my life.
I know the family won't want me there.
I'm sure that's not true. Woman with pushchair.
Nick definitely won't. He hates me.
Hate's a strong word.
So is murder.
You don't know Elliot was murdered.
I wouldn't put it past Nick if he found out Elliot wanted to marry me and saw his inheritance going down the pan.
That's an awfully big assumption. Bus!
Nick was the son from Elliot's first marriage, and by all accounts, a pale shadow of his technicolour father.
All I know is someone tried to trip me downstairs and it was just lucky you hit the tripwire first.
You're very lucky.
I'm pregnant, Charles.
You don't have any proof that someone murdered Elliot. Mind the lorry!
It was only only 62, you know? And he took care of himself, personal trainer, gym every morning.
Roughly the same age, but recklessly unfit. I didn't particularly want to dwell on Elliot's early demise.
I know it's awful for you, Jodie, but people, well, people die sometimes unexpectedly. It's a one-way street.
Life.
No, this car coming! Oh, God!
Stop hooting and get out of the way!
I haven't written a will.
The great, the good, and the cosmetically reconstructed had turned out in force to pay their respects to Elliot. So Jodie and I squeezed into a pew halfway back in the chapel.
Which one's Nick?
Shaking hands with that man there.
That's Richard Attenborough.
Oh, if you say so.
Sir Richard Attenborough.
Whatever. Oh, was he on I'm a Celebrity?
Ever seen Gandhi?
The deer?
That was Bambi. Gandhi was the skinny bloke, sandals, glasses.
Refused to eat anything in the bush tucker trial.
He would have done.
While the voice of the Heat Generation searched her celebrity database, Nick peered over, clocked Jodie, and looked away without a flicker of recognition.
Did you see that? He completely blanked me. I don't think I can handle this, Charles. It's doing my head in.
Jodie.
I'm out of here.
Jodie, where are you?
I've got to get some air.
Jodie.
I thought I detected a slight smirk on Nick's weaselly face, but that still didn't make him capable of patricide.
Room for a little one? Come on, Charles, shift up. Where's Jodie?
She was upset, so she went out.
Where have you been?
Working the room.
Don't you ever stop schmoozing?
Well, you have to grab your chances, and you don't often get to see so many contacts in one place.
Parasite.
Life goes on.
What was that skullcap business this morning?
Oh, I thought it might be a kosher do, but it turns out Elliot was a signed-up member of the Humanist Society. If you ever done business with the old shark, humanist is the last adjective you'd have chosen.
Keep it down, Morris.
Is Jodie coming back for the main event?
I think she was a bit overwhelmed by it all. It's bad enough losing a lover, but the prospect of becoming a single parent...
A what?
Shh! Oh, don't tell me it's Elliot's. It is, isn't it?
You said not to tell you.
Oh, this is brilliant. This is fan-bloody-tastic. You find talent, encourage it, nurture it, and then goes and gets yourself up the duff by a bloke with a dodgy ticker.
People are looking.
Ladies, gentlemen... Friends and family.
Showman to the last, Elliot had arranged for us to process out of the chapel as George Formby strummed him to his eternal rest. Then we all went on to a champagne reception at Elliot's favourite restaurant.
You made plans, Charles?
Only to get a drink, but the wine waiter keeps avoiding my eye.
I meant for your funeral.
Well, I won't be there, so they can stick me in a wheelie bin and push me off Waterloo Bridge for all I care. I need a drink.
Just avoid cremation. The fireball could wipe out North London. Excuse me, dear. Can my friend have a glass of champagne before he has an alcohol-related panic attack?
Ah, great. Thanks. Well, here's to Elliot Roth and his child-to-be.
I'm going to keep that under wraps as long as possible. Pregnant actresses are a pig to cast.
I hope you're not going to suddenly drop Jodie.
I do have some scruples, Charles.
Good, because she's going to need to work more than ever.
Didn't Elliot make provisions for mother and child?
I don't know.
Well, it's easily found out.
Is it?
It is if you're constantly in and out of bed with lawyers.
I need another drink to get that image out of my head.
And I need to circulate. Trevor, where's the gorgeous Imogen?
As Morris slithered away, I found myself standing next to Nick. So I adopted the expression I used for Mr. Sowerberry in a production of Oliver at Pitlochry Rep. Nick, Charles Paris.
Yeah, hi.
He had a handshake like a limp kipper and a black hole where his personality should have been. Can I just say how very sorry I am?
Yeah, well...
Terrible.
It was completely unexpected. We're trying to come to terms with the shock.
Bereavement takes people in different ways, but Nick's response sounded like a rehearsed statement at a press conference. I didn't know your father well.
Mm.
I'm currently in one of his productions,
mm-hmm.
The Reading.
Yeah.
Talking to Nick was hard work, but then suddenly he seemed to wake up.
Oh, you're working with Jodie, then?
Yeah, she's great. Lovely girl.
Her online fan base ticks all the right demographic boxes for the male gaming teen to 20s that focus groups tell us is the film's target audience.
I could see why people preferred Elliot, the big top ringmaster, to his spreadsheet-in-a-suit son. Were you with your father at the end?
No. I'd been at meetings in town all day and had a late business dinner, so I spent the night at my London flat.
Again, that press conference style. then he was gone. I slipped outside for a fag and to wonder who had driven up Elliot's gravel drive the night Miles and I found his body cold in his bed.
Mr. Feynman, good to see you.
Sorry?
Elspeth.
Elspeth?
Elliot's personal assistant.
Elspeth! Right! Sorry, I got a terrible memory for faces.
A dim recollection slowly came into focus as I remembered passing myself off as an American film producer in an attempt to get a meeting with Elliot.
You must meet so many people in your job.
Can't be a problem. So, how are things?
My boss of 15 years has just died, so not great.
No, right. That's a dumb question. He was a terrific guy.
Yes, he was. I know some people found him tough to deal with, but when you got to know him, he was a pussycat.
Yeah, Elliot was a real mensch.
He was, alav shalom.
I didn't actually know what a mensch was, but I'd said it once in a David Mamet play, and it sounded right in context. Of course, now Elspeth thought I spoke Yiddish.
It was a mitzvah, you flying over specially.
Was it? Well, you know, we were all very shocked at Fine World.
I thought you worked for Sky Blue.
Yeah. I did, but they went into liquidation, so I set up Fine World Distribution with some old colleagues.
Mazel tov.
Shiksa. Poor Nick is still in shock.
We all are. Elliot was such a vibrant, dynamic man, always looking ahead, planning the next big project.
Tough act for Nick to follow.
He's not a patch on his father. He's got chutzpah, I'll say that for him, but between you and me, he's a bit of a schmuck. Now, Elliot had showbiz in the blood. Nick's all business, but no show. And you've got to have passion. But you know that, Mr. Paris.
There goes another Oscar. What was it? Was it the accent or the Yiddish that let me down?
After you rushed off that day, I remembered Elliot showing me some makeup stills for the reading, and when I looked through, there was Bob Feynman as Zabek the Vampire, a.k.a. Charles Paris.
Well, in defence, my deception was in a good cause.
What I don't know can't implicate me. But any time you want the lowdown on Nick, feel free to call. By the way, a mensch is an honourable, decent man. I hope you are.
I'd persuaded Jodie to come along, but it was time to leave, and I hadn't seen her for a while, and when I couldn't find her in the restaurant, I made my way out to the street where a small crowd had gathered.
I don't know who you think you are looking down your nose at me. But you are nothing compared to Elliot. Hear that? Nothing.
I think you'd better go.
Don't you tell me what to do.
I've just buried my father, so if you don't mind, I'm not going to stand out here listening to you.
Don't you turn your back on me.
Get off me.
I think we'd better go, Jodie.
Treating me like dirt.
Come on.
Looking at me like I'm dog muck on his shoe.
That's enough, Jodie. This isn't doing any good.
He's just a smart little rich boy like Elliot always said.
Now, look here. I don't know what my father ever saw in you apart from the obvious, but now he's gone, that's the end of any involvement between us.
What are you going to do? Fire me from the film?
Certainly not. You're under contract and you'll see it out. After that, I don't care if I never see you or your bastard child again.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do. We gotta get out of this place.
Oh, hello. Do you want to watch Newsnight Review?
Not with my blood pressure.
Quiet, isn't it?
Almost eerie.
Jodie out?
Said she had things to do.
Juliet phoned.
Oh, she hasn't left Miles already.
They want us to go over soon for a housewarming lunch.
Oh, am I expected to be sober?
No one ever expects you to be sober.
More wine?
Oh, go on then. Thank you.
Move up.
What's wrong with the armchair?
Well, just being friendly.
Friendly?
Cozy.
I know your definition of cozy.
You know, this could be a whole new start for us.
We need jump leads to get us started again.
Juliet's finally moved out.
Judy's moved in.
Temporarily.
It had better be.
Oh, you smell nice.
What's brought this on?
Funerals always make me appreciate life.
So you went to a funeral and thought about me?
I always think of you. I'm devoted to you. You know that.
I know everything about you, Charles. That's the trouble. I can read you like a dog-eared book.
Which is a good thing, I think. It's been nice sharing a room again, though.
It's been companionable.
And now Juliet's room's free and Jodie's in mine, I suppose you'll want me to move out of yours.
When you're not being selfish and unreliable, I can almost remember why I originally fancied you.
Maybe my selfishness and unreliability is why you fancied me.
What a depressing thought for a feminist. Okay.
Okay, what?
We'll give the room sharing an extended trial run. Call it a honeymoon period.
Fine by me. Now, what is it people do on their honeymoon?
You know, you're a bad and wicked man.
How about you adopt me as a cause?
You're a lost cause.
You could help me to be good.
I could help you to be better.
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, good, you're still up.
It's past my bedtime. Night-night.
Night-night.
Night. I went to the flat to pick up some stuff, and there was a load of post, including this.
Inside a solicitor's letter was another letter, sealed and in Elliot's sprawling hand.
My darling Jodie, if you're reading this, I'm already dead. Try not to be sad. You're too young and too beautiful, and you've got everything to live for, especially our baby. I just want you to know that I love you, and everything's been taken care of for both your futures. I may be gone, but you know the old cliché. The show must go on. Look after yourself, my darling, and remember, everything's going to be all right. Ever your loving Elliot.
I told you he loved me.
She looked at once vindicated and heartbroken. I just wondered what Nick would make of it all.
If you weren't so stubborn, Jarbeck and the Slayer would be a powerful partnership.
You and me? That is so not going to happen.
A pity. The dark side would welcome the Slayer. With your tenacity in my context, we'd be unstoppable. We'd rule the netherworld.
Thanks, Jarbeck, but... Oh, sorry. Sorry, everyone. I'm all fingers and thumbs today.
Cut and reset. Go again.
Have you seen who's on the floor?
Who?
Nick.
What's he doing there?
What do you think? Showing everyone there's a new boss in town.
A morning of double espressos had gone to my bladder, so during a break I rushed to the gents. But taloned fingers are not designed to deal with a button fly on leather vampire breeches. Damn buttons. Come on. Come on. Oh, great. Hi, Francis.
You all right?
Yeah, can we make it quick?
What are you doing?
You really don't want to know.
What time do you get home tonight?
Bit of luck, about 7. Why?
Well, I just thought after our interruption last night, you might fancy eating out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I've booked a table for 2 at Franco's for 8. Do you think you can make it?
If it kills me.
The food tastes much better if you're alive.
I'll be there.
Good. What are you doing, by the way?
I've drunk a lot of coffee and I'm trapped in my costume.
Then I won't remind you of the time we visited the fountains in Rome.
Goodbye, Francis. After which blessed relief, I nipped out to the car park for a crafty fag where I found Nick ostentatiously sucking on a fat cigar but looking like a beginner. Got a light?
Sure.
Even the way he fumbled with the lighter gave the game away. He was playing at being a big-shot impresario like his old man, but he was fooling no one. Thank you. You've been watching the filming?
I had to share my face. Tell the truth, I found it pretty boring.
Tell the truth, so do I. Joke. I got the impression your dad was a very much hands-on producer.
Oh, he loved it all. Showbiz parties, dinners at the Ivy.
Yeah.
He'd schmooze everyone from Hollywood stars to chavvy little wannabe slappers on the make.
He didn't need to name names. I knew exactly who that was aimed at, and he knew I knew. Strong, aren't they? He tossed 20 quid's worth of Havana's finest into the gutter.
I gotta go.
Sure. Nice talking to you. I watched as Nick climbed into something low-slung and fast-looking. I'm not a Top Gear man, but I did remember Miles saying the car that pulled up to Elliot's house after we discovered his body was a TVR.
Okay. even if it was Nick who turned up at the house that night, you and Miles had already found Elliot dead before he arrived.
But he told me he'd spent the night in London. Why lie to me?
Why not lie to you? You're an actor, not a policeman. Sorry to rain on your parade, but there's absolutely no reason why Elliot's son has to tell you the truth if he chooses not to. How's the chicken surprise?
Surprisingly good. How's the truffle risotto?
It's truffly. Can I have some more wine?
Mm. I wonder if he knows about the letter Elliot left for Jodie.
Only if she told him about it. From what you said, I don't get the impression they're on chatty terms.
Then there's the paparazzo who tried to blackmail Jodie and ended up with a bullet through the head.
After moped pizza delivery boy, blackmailer must be a pretty high-risk profession.
So, as far as you're concerned, the fact that the guy was murdered close to Elliot's country pile is pure coincidence.
One wouldn't say pure.
And the tripwire someone tied across the landing to Jodie's flat.
I'm not saying something isn't going on, but you haven't shown me a shred of evidence any of it leads directly to Nick.
Nobody likes him.
Well, that's that then, case closed. I can think of plenty of people nobody likes, but I'm fairly sure none of them have ever committed murder.
Oh,
let it go to voicemail.
It might be important. Hello, Morris.
I've got some news about Elliot's will.
You don't hang about.
Well, as it has a bearing on my client, your house guest...
Well?
It appears that he left everything to Nick.
Really?
Yeah, despite their tempestuous relationship, there'd been a reconciliation some years ago... And he gets the lot. Lock, stock and barrel.
Jodie's going to be devastated. She's got a letter in which he said she and the baby would be taken care of.
Elliot was always a volatile character. Depending on the ups and downs of their relationship, he frequently redrafted his will.
So that's that.
Yeah, I won't bore you with the legalese, but Elliot left it all as a gift to Nick to avoid or at least minimise death duties.
You're losing me.
Providing Elliot died more than 7 years after making the gift, there'd be nothing to pay. But if he died before that time...
Nick gets landed with a hefty bill.
Exactly.
When was this gift made?
Just over 7 years ago. So the old boy was bang on the money, as it were.
And Nick avoids death duties.
Business acumen right up to the end.
Try telling that to Jodie.
Well, poor girl's going to find out soon enough. I must go. I'm off to the court. New piece by a teenage gang member.
Oh. It was a warm evening, so Francis and I walked home. I didn't want to be the one who broke the news to Jodie, so we took the scenic route in the hope she'd have gone to bed.
Sounds like she's still up and entertaining.
I'm sorry, Frances. I didn't think she'd start bringing friends back.
Do you mind if I go to bed? I'm not really in the mood for people.
If I make an appearance, maybe they'll go. I'll be up soon.
Oh, hello, Charles.
Hi.
Do you know Terry and Yvonne?
Forgive the invasion.
Oh, poor man comes home from a hard day's work to find strangers in his lovely house. But we come in peace, I promise.
We come from the planet IKEA. We come in peace.
These are old friends of Elliot's.
Oh, me, Bonnie and Elliot went way back.
Oh, too far back for my liking.
I was guessing that Terry and Yvonne were in what was once called a lavender marriage, and the deep tans and leathery complexions suggested they spent most of their time playing golf on the Costa showbiz.
Well, it's lovely to meet you both, but if you'll excuse me, I'll leave you too.
Oh, look what we've done now.
Scared him off.
Oh, don't go, Charles. Is there something I want you to hear?
Oh, after you?
No, you.
All right, man's work.
We all sat down and Terry flashed a set of improbably bleached teeth at me.
Cut a long story short, Vonnie and I used to be in the business.
We started out as a specialist.
Who's telling this story?
Oh, excuse I.
As my darling wife said, we were doing speciality work just at the wrong time. So we saw which way the wind was blowing, set up an agency and went into personal management.
Which is how we met Elliot.
Quite so. You don't want to hear our life story. Suffice it to say, the three of us became very close friends. And in the past few years, Elliot asked if we'd undertake the job of archiving his papers for posterity.
We're hoping the V&A would take them as part of their theatre collection.
Anyway, a few months ago, Elliot and Jodie came out to stay with us in Marbella.
Around the time I discovered I was pregnant.
And one night, after Jodie had gone to bed, we were sitting by the pool when Elliot produced a document.
Exhibit A.
We assumed it was something else for the archive, but it turned out to be a will, and Elliot wanted us to witness it.
Have a look, Charles.
My eyes skated over the archaic phrases and subordinate clauses lawyers use to obfuscate and mystify, but eventually... I came to the salient paragraph.
Is it as good as we think it is?
Well, you're not going to have to worry about working again.
I knew Elliot wouldn't forget me.
Has anyone else seen this?
It was all drawn up in Spain by our solicitor, but we're taking it round to Elliot's people in the morning.
I wonder how Nick's going to take it.
Well, he still gets the houses and a big chunk of the other assets.
Probably not as much as he was expecting.
Still more than he deserves.
I thought we could raise a glass to Elliot, so I took the liberty of bringing a bottle...
Oh, my God, I put the champagne in the freezer hours ago.
Forty-8 minutes. Not bad.
Is that 48 minutes since you went jogging or 48 minutes till I have to call an ambulance?
How can you sit there stuffing your face with... What is that?
The packet said it was Polish breakfast sausage.
A man your age shouldn't be eating that stuff.
Actually, you're right, but I reckon it would grout the bath a treat.
Why can I smell wine?
Oh, sorry, that was my fault.
A bottle of champagne exploded in the freezer.
I didn't put any champagne in the freezer.
I did. Do you want to lift in, Charles?
No, I've got a late call, thanks.
All right, I need to hit the road. It helps me to think. I'll just go and get my stuff.
Champagne? After Morris's call, I didn't think she'd be celebrating.
There were further developments after you went to bed. A new will's come to light.
I can't keep up with this. Any coffee left?
Hello?
Charles, it's Elspeth. Elliot.
Elspeth, hi.
I hope you don't mind me phoning you.
No, not at all. How are you?
Nick Roth's just fired me by text.
What? Why?
The economic downturn, apparently. I reckon it's new broom syndrome. Plus, I was close to his father and he's trying to establish the new regime. 15 years I've been with Elliot, but loyalty's nothing to the Nicks of this world.
I'm really sorry.
I'll be fine. I've got my OU course. I just thought you might be interested to hear that it's all going crazy at ERF&T.
Crazy how?
Nick's in a permanent foul mood, bawling people out.
See you later.
I don't know why you're so interested in Nick, and I don't want to know. But after the way he's treated me, I don't mind dishing the dirt, and I just thought you might be interested that he's throwing his weight around like a cut-price Sam Goldwyn.
What the hell?
No.
What?
Oh, my God!
What?
Are you there, Charles?
Jody's car's on fire!
Sorry, Elspeth, I've got to go.
Jody, are you all right?
I think so.
Get indoors.
There was smoke pouring out from under the bonnet and then...
What the hell's going on,
it's
Charles?
It's probably an electrical fault.
Oh, you believe that, do you?
Well, we'll talk beliefs later. Now, let's get away from here in case the whole thing blows up.
In Cast in Order of Disappearance, Charles Paris is played by Bill Nighy, Jody by Martine McCutcheon, and Francis by Suzanne Burden. Morris is John Glover, Juliet Tilly Gaunt, and Nick Rhys Jennings. Elspeth is Kate Layden, Terry Philip Fox, and Yvonne Avril Clark. Cast in Order of Disappearance is written by Jeremy Frunt and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director is Sally Evans.